Good morning to each one. Thank you for coming. As Scripture says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. We know this morning that numbers aren't everything. It's been a blessing, small group, student body all week. But it sure is a blessing to have everyone here this morning that came. Numbers definitely does enhance the singing in this big room. So I appreciated the worship this morning. Thank you for coming. We're glad you're all here. The churches that are represented here, and if you're a visitor, first time you've come, we're thankful to have you here. It's a blessing to be gathered together in this way this morning. Let's take a moment, commit our worship to the Lord. Can we all stand together for prayer? Let's bow our heads before our great God. Our Father in heaven, we bow, we humble our hearts, we commit our lives, we look into your face this morning and thank you for who you are, our ascended Lord, our great and mighty God. Yet you dwell within our breasts by faith. And we thank you. Lord, as this world gets darker, may our lights truly shine brighter. And Father, we're gathered together this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ because what he has done, we humble our hearts before your great throne and ask that you would take your place in this worship service. We want to give you the glory and the worship and the honor that is due to your holy name. And so we bow in your presence. May you bless each one that has part in this service this morning, especially the young men who are committed this morning and willing to share an overflow of their hearts. Bless them, we pray, and each one seated here in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. All right, so we have five young men this morning that are willing to share an overflow of their hearts from this week. Thank you to you young men beforehand for your willingness to share. We're blessed this morning that you're willing to do that. And we gave each of them a challenge, and their challenge this morning is we encouraged them to try to keep it within 5 minutes. And so I recognize that's going to be quite a challenge, but I don't think we're going to hold you totally to that. But we are going to ask you to try to keep it within 5 minutes if you can. And the rest of you, let's not be watching our clock so we know it's exactly when it's time for him to sit down, because we are going to be gracious with them. I'm not going to be holding up a clock if you go over time, but if you wonder where you're at and what we're thinking, you may want to look to me and see if you can read my facial expression. Maybe that'll tell you whether it's time to wind down or keep going. So Lord bless you as you share. And I'm going to give the order of the names that are going to be sharing, and then if you will come in that order, I think it should match the paper I gave you. If it doesn't, just come in this order. We're going to have Ryan Grossman first, then Sam Stolzfus, Jason Berg, Sam Black, and Andrew Baca. So God bless you, young men, as you share in that order. Come up here to the podium. Thank you.
Well, good morning. I want to put something up here. I was looking at this, and I think it fits very well the subject I have this morning. And I was encouraged to share something that spoke to me this morning. And so, something that spoke to me, this week was insecurities. That's something I have been struggling with, and that one was a blessing to me this week. So, I'm going to start with kind of how that started. And is it okay if I use the board? Where'd he go? I think it's okay. So, before I was reborn, I got into pornography, and I wasn't able to keep my body under subjection. And that led to a lot of extreme self-criticism. I'm a thinker, and I don't really share a whole lot, and so I really kept to myself, but, you know, at nights, I generally do my most thinking, and I'd go through the day, and I'd just have this problem where I'd replay everything I did wrong in the whole day. And whether it was a conversation that I had with someone, I said this wrong, or I should have said this, I didn't say that. That was probably the most that I'd struggled with. And, I really struggled with that. So that kind of started that, and my self-criticism led to a feeling of insecurity. And not sure quite how to define insecurity. One thing I wanted to add to this illustration was, it was shared this week that men's minds are like waffles. And that was kind of a new thought for me, but, men do have emotions, and most of the time, it seems like they can put them away. But when we get emotions and we know we feel that we shouldn't have them and that we shouldn't share them, we don't share them. Instead, they go into this square. And that's probably not all guys, but for me it was. And so that square is only so big, and so when it filled up that much, it would fill up and fill up, and it really, it didn't do good things, and eventually it would burst, and we probably, many of us have had that, but that was something that struggled with me. When I was at Bible school earlier this year, I learned a lot, and 2 months later, I gave my life to the Lord, and now this picture up here looks more like this. So, something I did want to say is I didn't get rid of all self-criticism. I am not entirely against self-criticism, but there's a point where self-criticism is to an extreme point, and that is what I'm against, and or have been struggling with. And so, so this week's message also reminded me of another quote. I don't know if any of you guys have listened to Clint Wolf's one on relationships, but he talked a little bit about insecurities. And one thing he said was, is life about what you've got, or is life about what you're not? And, if it's about what you've got, that's pride. If it's about what you're not, that's insecurities. For me, it was really about what I was not. And so, I'm not sure how to deal with that section of my life yet. It'll probably just always be there. But this message on insecurity, really taking it down to, God is our strength, and we can find strength in Him. The strength to overcome insecurity really comes from God, and that we can't overcome it on by ourselves. And so that was encouraging to me. And also in focusing on others and trying to be a blessing to them, we can also overcome our insecurities because we're not focused on ourselves. And so, that really spoke to me. I want to read a song out of a few songs, but I think I'll just read one. Not sure where I am on time. I should have looked at that. So I tried to find some on courage, And so I found this song, and I don't know the tune to it, so I'm just going to read it like a poem. It's 523 in the Purple Book. It says, "Fight the good fight with all thy might. Christ is thy strength, and Christ thy right. Lay hold on life, and it shall be thy joy and crown eternally. Run the straight race through God's good grace. Lift up thine eyes and seek his face. Life with its way before us lives. Christ is the path, and Christ is the prize. Cast care not aside upon thy guide. Cast care aside upon thy guide. Lean, and his mercy will provide. Lean, and the trusting soul shall prove. Christ is its life, and Christ is its love. Faint not, nor fear, his arms are near. He changeth not, and thou art dear. Only believe, and thou shalt see that Christ is all in all to thee." And something that helps me with self-criticism was, you know, there's grace. You know, we don't have to be perfect. And God gives grace for that. And so I chose a song too on that. And so, "God of compassion and mercy befriend us, giver of grace, for our needs all availing. Wisdom and strength for each day do thou send us, patience and tiring and courage unfailing. Wandering and lost, thou hast sought us and found us. Stilled our rude hearts with thy word of consoling. Wrap now thy peace like a mantle around us, guarding our thoughts and our passions controlling. How shall we stray with thy hand to direct us, thou who the stars in their courses are guiding? What shall we fear with thy power to protect us, we who walk forth in thy greatness confiding?" So that's really all I have to share this morning, but I hope that can be a blessing to you. Thank you.
Good morning. It's been a great week so far, and I've really been blessed, and I would like to share just a few of my highlights. And just the title of what I have this morning is Three Ways to Prepare Ourselves for God's Service. And here's three ways that I have learned this week. Turn with me in the Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. So this first verse is to be secure in Christ's love and what he's done for us. That's this first way that I've taken away to be preparing myself for God's service. And I just want to read 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. "For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And this week we've talked a lot about that. We've talked a lot about sanctification and glorifying God in our body. And I really appreciate all the times this week where the speakers, you know, Mel and really everyone, has just spoken very clearly that our lives should be free from sin. And I really appreciated that. And then also that we spoke this week, Brother Mel shared on Tuesday morning about the work of God's Spirit in our life and how God's Spirit should be evident and flowing in our life and his gifts should be used to further his kingdom. And I was really blessed with that. The second way that I have taken away to be, you know, to prepare ourselves for God's service is to be a sanctified vessel. And there again, we heard a lot about that this week. And I just want to read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 and following. You can turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. And this week I've just been blessed about all the teaching on a solid foundation and how that teaching has benefited my life. And he says in verse 20 that there is many things in our life that we have. Some are honorable. Some are things that we should, you know, cleanse out of our life. And I think of all those things that I can work on myself. And I was blessed with that encouragement this week to continue to work to root those things out of our life that need to go. Because, as he says in verse 21, if we cleanse ourselves from these things, we will be a vessel for honor. We will be sanctified and useful for the Master, prepared for every good work. Go on in verse 24, he's talking about humility and how we should be honoring to those around us, to those in authority, those that are, you know, that we're with in the church. I think of Brother Wilmer's messages about friendship and all of this, how we should honor those and be kind to those around us, and all his messages about how to live peaceably with those around us was really a blessing to me. And then the third way to be preparing ourselves for God's service is to be a pliable vessel. Brother John Michael shared about this on Monday night, and he mentioned a passage in Jeremiah about the potter and the clay and how we should be able to be to be moved and shapen by God and how he should guide us. And I was just really blessed by that. It really spoke to me that I need to, more so in my life, stay close to the Father so that he can guide me and shape me as he wants for his service. So that's what I had to share this morning. God bless you all.
Good morning. I've been blessed and encouraged to be here this week. I really enjoyed it. We have had some good messages here, some warnings, some encouragements, and so on. So I'll share a bit about one of the messages we heard this week that spoke to me on a topic relating to steadfastness. The example was given of falling asleep slowly, losing grip on a pan. Do we realize if we are slowly falling asleep spiritually, or are we losing grip? Let's read Hebrews 2, 1 and 3. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by an angel was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? In verse 1, the author warns us to give heed to the things we heard, that we don't let them slip. Are we taking heed? In verse 3, he asks, how shall we escape if we neglect the salvation? We can't escape judgment if we don't repent. Let's read 1 Timothy 1, 18 to 20. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith, and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. In verse 19, he speaks of holding faith and having good conscience, and talks about those that have made shipwreck. I'm going to try to connect this with a message that we had by Dale Gish on Friday that spoke to me on wrecking shipwreck with our faith. One of the points he made was leaving our first love. Do we have our first love? Do we love Christ as he loves us? Or are we drifting and compromising with the world and slowly leaving our first love? If we continue to end up losing our faith, then we could have spiritual shipwreck with our faith. I'd like to read Revelations 2, verse 7 yet. He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. In verse 7, he tells us if we overcome, that we'll get to the tree of life. And then Paul mentions, and I believe it's in Acts somewhere, I'll just paraphrase it a bit, that we should run the race that is set before us, and to keep running the race that is set before us for eternal life. I'd just like to encourage us with 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6 yet. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. I was thinking about the second last song that we had, 148, what a wonderful Savior we have. He hides us in the cleft of the rock if we only let him. So I hope this has been an encouragement for us that seek to grow closer to the Lord and that we will just continue on. Thank you.
Greetings in Jesus' name. Let me give you a little bit of context about what I'm going to speak about here. I'm not going to use the board behind me because if I wrote it, we couldn't read it. So I'm just going to stick to my notes and the Bible. We're going to try to keep this in 5 minutes, but I haven't done a lot of preaching, but my dad did. So the reputation was handed to our family that we would arrive late and preach late. So we'll see what we can do here. earlier this week, Brother Melvin talked about being pure, and he said that, I might not have the quote just right, but he said that 90% of our problem, sin problem in the churches today was has to do with sexual impurity. And I thought, wow, that's quite a bit. Do 90% of us struggle with that when we're in our youth? David asked God in the Psalms. He says, "Oh God," he prays that God will not remember the sins of his youth. And it seems like the youth is pretty dangerous time sometimes. So I was wondering if that's true. If 90% of our sin problems are has to do with sexual impurity, and I would say that's pretty accurate. I can't speak for everyone as far as who all deals with that and who all is. Seems to be pretty free, but I would like to. I would like it to be applicable for the guys, and if the girls could get something out of it, that'd be great. But seeing I'm not a girl, I can't necessarily relate. But I'll try to have something to say. You know, when it comes to these things, we cannot just sit back and rely on the Holy Spirit to take care of these things for us. I mean, we must use the Holy Spirit. And we must be proactive. We cannot just sit back and wait for the Holy Spirit to just come slay our dragons for us. We have to use the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not act on your behalf if you're not acting on your own behalf in your own thought life and in your own actions. You can't just blame your failures on the Holy Spirit not coming to help you when you feel that you failed. You can't just sit down and watch a movie and let the Holy Spirit deal with your emotions and your physical reactions when you know that that's not the best thing for you to be doing at that moment. So I would like to start off and say that we need Jesus. First off, if we're not born again, we should have been listening to Brother Dale and Brother Michael when they had something to say. They had a lot to say on that. And I believe some of you were listening. I know some of you were listening. And I want to congratulate you for that, for making a step and to accepting Jesus. And we need to be born again. If we are born again in here this morning, then we still need Jesus. In 1 John 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God." The same was with God in the beginning. The same in the beginning was with God. Excuse me. We need the Word of God. And when dealing with these things, I would say that the Word of God is one of our most powerful weapons with dealing with these things. That would be my first point, would be to say that we need Jesus and we need the Word of God. And I would say that this perfect book that we hold will be the closest thing on earth that we physically have to Jesus. So if we have this book, then this is the closest thing we have to Jesus physically until we see him in heaven. Moving on, Psalm 119 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." I'm just going to go ahead and turn there to Psalm 119 so I can read a little bit more there. Psalm 119:9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." So does this morning, as we look at our lives, does our ways need cleansed? Are we struggling? Are we living in sin? Do we need our ways to be cleansed? And the way we can do that is with, right here it says, thy word. We can cleanse our ways with his word if we take heed to it. Verse 11, it says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." We hide the word in our heart. Why? Because we might not sin against him. If it's your heart this morning that you're struggling against these things, let me give you some advice from someone who has struggled with these things. Hide the word of God in your heart. Memorize these scriptures. And then the Lord can call them to remembrance in times of trials and temptations. If you have not hid the word of God in your heart, he cannot bring these to your remembrance. If we hide the word of God in our heart, then that means we have Jesus in our heart. Now, I would also like to focus on the last part of 16. It says, "I will not forget thy word." We need to make a commitment in our hearts to not forget his word. Job said that he made a commitment. He made a vow or a commitment with his eyes that he would not look upon a maiden. But sometimes a commitment is not enough. We still need Jesus. So after we make a commitment, we could turn to Romans 13. And in Romans 13, verse 14, it says, "Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." When we go on a camping trip or something, we think of provisions or supplies and provisions for the flesh. Each one of us can think of own things in our life that could possibly be provisions for the flesh. Things that would allow the flesh to do what it wants. And the spirit warreth against the flesh, and the flesh against the spirit. So there may be things in our lives that we need to take out of our lives so we do not struggle with these things. There could be things in our lives that are causing or allowing us to stumble and fall. And it could be different for every one of us. It would be different for every one of us. Things that could stumble you could be your cell phone. I would say Brother Mel was pretty accurate when he said maybe the biggest danger to our churches is possibly the cell phone, which is also a computer in my mind. If that is what is causing you to stumble, there are options out there to help you control that. If not, then like my dad says, I never had a cell phone when I was your age. That may be pretty extreme, but let me tell you, it's not as extreme as the price you will pay for not removing those things out of your life. There may be jobs we should not work in. There may be environments that we shouldn't work in. And if we're working in an environment that is causing us to stumble or to have problems in our thought lives, maybe we should consider changing jobs. If there are friends that we are associating with that are not trying to be pure in their thoughts and in their entertainment and in their work and in their everyday, those are not friends. For next point, I would like to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 13, it says here, and there's a promise right here. And I knew of an old preacher. I never met him, but my dad did. And he dealt a lot with young people that struggle. And they would have revival meetings, and a young person would come up, and then they would cry their heart out, and then they would confess, and then they would that they were struggling with different things in their lives that they didn't want. And he would counsel with them, and he would talk with them, and he would tell them to memorize 1 Corinthians 10:13, and then they would go home. And he said he's seen it happen multiple times, where the next year they would have revival meetings, and they would invite people to come up, and they would come up to the altar crying and struggling with these things, and again, and he would ask them, "Did you remember that verse I told you? Did you memorize that verse?" And they would say, "What verse?" They hadn't. They hadn't. They had not hid the Word of God in their heart. And he said he told one young man, "I'm not going to talk with you anymore until you can go home and remember that verse. Once you can remember that verse, come talk to me and we'll deal with this. But until that time, then you're not serious about dealing with this." 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but as is common to man. But such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make an escape, that ye may be able to bear it." When in times of temptation, you need to know this stuff. In this verse here, I find that we should look for the exit of the temptation. You don't necessarily have to bear that. You have to get away from it and get out from under it. You cannot bear these things. You cannot survive under these things. You have to get away from it. You have to look for the exit. You have to exit the temptation. You have to look for the fire escape, so to speak. And I would say those things would be the Bible, number one. Read your Bible. Get into the Bible. Love your Bible and study your Bible. You could even use a psalm book. A psalm book can be an escape. Call a brother or a sister. Talk with them. It doesn't even have to be about the temptation. If you can just move your mind away, escape. Last of all, pray. And I believe if we follow these things faithfully, I believe we can escape the temptation and the sin that does so easily beset us. And maybe we can have a 90% more pure church. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Good morning. Wow, all those messages were, yeah, they all go together very well. Especially with something that I'm going to be talking about. It really sums up kind of what the other guys had said before. So I came prepared. I have a short bit to share with you this morning. Something that I've learned from my experience, and I hope it'll encourage you. So my first time here at Bible school was back in 2014. Then the following 3 years after that. And I got to thinking where I was at the time spiritually and about the work that God did in my life and my heart over those following years. And I remember hearing the messages about surrendering our hearts and about allowing Christ to work in us. And I remember thinking, yeah, I'm doing that. Yeah, I'm good, right? And it can be easy to think that at times. If we might have been raised in a godly home or a good church. But are we making Christ the very fibers of it? And we can be raised that way and we can be completely without even having Christ at the center and the fiber of who we are. Instead, we can tend to clip him on our side like an accessory at times. I'm guilty of it. And it wasn't until I landed at a low place spiritually and I knew I needed and wanted Jesus to be my own. So a question I have for us is how much would Christ be in our life if our church family, or other spiritual influences, we're not by our side. Well, let's think about that. How much of Christ would be in our life without our church, family, or other spiritual influences? Where does the passion for Christ come from, you might ask? Two things for me, personally. The first one is, which Samuel Black covered that, Psalms 119, 9 through 11. But I'm going to read it again because it is very important and just want to expound on that. It says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." It's the continually filling our mind with Christ and his word. The second one I have is James 2 through 4. James chapter 1, 2 through 4. "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Something simple to illustrate this. What on the outside makes this the product, right? I don't have enough time, so it's the box, right? And I can paint it, and I could write on it what it is, and I can make it real convincing, right? But it's not without the actual product inside, which will make it to what it is. And so I think we can draw the spiritual parallel to that. That without Christ continually in our hearts, we're just making a pretty box of our life. As we go home, I encourage each one of us to allow Christ to break us down and build us back up, to build us with our lives continually centered on Christ. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.